What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
Hornet News!
The only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related. And we don't bore you. We get into it. Let's do it. I must go. Must leave this house. I must go. The time is now. I must go. It's time to get out. Okay, people, before we get started, I would greatly appreciate it if you would hit that subscribe button and hit that bell. We drop new episodes of Feneva News every Saturday, 12 p.m. EST, and we re-upload some of those segments throughout the week for your viewing pleasure. I'd appreciate each and every person that hits that subscribe button and that bell. Without further ado, I don't want to waste your time. Let's get into it. Okay, people, and the first story up is not a pretty sight. Somebody in the anime, or shall I say manga industry, I guess a little bit of both, recently got in some very big trouble, and yeah, homie was arrested. And we've been hearing more than ever, if I'm not mistaken, honestly, over the last decade plus, I haven't heard as much of these type of cases up until like maybe the last 2 or 3 years, where a lot of very notable public figures in the industry have been getting in legal issues. We talked about not that long ago, maybe what, a year ago, that the owner or the founder of Studio Ufotable, he was in trouble for tax evasion. There's been a wide variety of cases of these people getting in big trouble. And now this one, this kind of takes the cake because, to be honest with you, to a certain degree, this is almost an international issue in Japan and not just something like domestic, because essentially the dude that got in trouble, it was connected to the Olympics. And who I'm referring to is one of the heads of Kadokawa. If you don't know about Kadokawa, they were a major, major publishing company. If I'm not mistaken, I definitely remember they were publishers behind series like Dead Man Wonderland. Like, they are huge publishing company. Look them up so that you guys understand what I'm talking about. But yeah, homie was caught trying to do a bribe, or getting a bribe successfully done, allegedly. This is according to reports. I'm not saying it, so, you know, leave me alone. But yeah, we have the report right here and all the information, and it's mighty hefty. Let's take a look. Kadokawa chairman arrested over alleged bribery attempt. According to a new report from Japan, authorities have arrested Kadokawa chairman Sugihiko Kadokawa. The Tokyo District Public Prosecutor's Office sent authorities to book the executive on allegations of bribery. To be specific, the charges laid against the chairman involved the Tokyo 2020 Summer Olympics, as Kadokawa allegedly paid off a committee member. The report suggests the chairman paid a consultant agency nearly $500,000 USD, and the organization was run by Haruyuki Takahashi. This former Olympic executive was arrested last month on bribery charges. Oh shit, they got him. Oh my god. It is suspected Takahashi accepted bribes from companies who wanted to secure their role as a sponsor of the event. So he was caking it up badly. Jeez. Over in Japan, new reports suggest Takahashi used his network of contacts to secure sponsorship awards for various clients. If the allegation is true, then Takahashi accepted a bribe from Kadokawa to make this goal come true. The scandal has left others in the police's way, as a former Kadokawa employee named Toshiyuki Yoshihara was arrested in relation to this case. Oh my god, they snitching, boy, they snitching. The same was done to Kyoji Maniwa, a former official with the studio. At this time, there is no word on how these three executives pled to their arrest, but we do know something. After all, the Kadokawa chairman told reporters in Japan the money sent to Takahashi was a consultancy fee and nothing more. It seems the chairman is maintaining his innocence in this case. And I'll be honest with you, for the most part, if it was an average citizen, if it was just a regular person, I would say, oh, he's cooked. Because in case you don't know, over there in Japan, their conviction rate is like 99, something outrageous. It's almost certain that when you get arrested, you're convicted. You've done something. You are guilty. So normally I would say, yeah, dude is fried. Dude is cooked. They gonna cook his goose, so to speak. However, because in recent times I've been noticing that people that are connected in the industry aren't going down in flames, as opposed to the standard person, the standard citizen in Japan that may have done something. Again, for example, the, you know, head of Studio Ufotable, he was basically done with a bunch of fines. And for the most part, despite the fact that he was found guilty, he wasn't really punished severely. There was no jail time. It was probation, I believe, like 5 years. And as long as he's, you know, stays squeaky clean, which he will, he's going to be okay. And then there was also that whole thing with the creator of the manga, Act Age. I believe he was the author, if I'm not mistaken. He was arrested a few years ago. And he also got off pretty lightly. I believe no jail time. And honestly, little conspiracy theorist brain here. Don't mind me just with conspiracies. But hey, they're connected to massive conglomerates. Studio Ufotable right now is one of the most sought after animation studios in Japan, thanks to the likes of Fate Stay, and then now of course Demon Slayer putting them at the tippy top. Like, yeah, there's a lot of money and a lot of high stakes in there. Likewise with the writer of Act Age, where, dog, that's a Shonen Jump author. Do you know how horrible of a look that would be for a Shonen Jump author to be doing 10 years in prison? That is a nightmare press wise. So kind of looks a little bit like, okay, so these people that are in higher positions, not any different from our government over here, are seemingly getting caught doing some questionable things and getting somewhat slaps on the wrist. So I'm not going to say that even if this dude is found guilty, which it sounds like, yo, dog, if they arrested this person that was, you know, connected and doing all of these things, taking all the bribes, allegedly, and then there was other people involved, people that work for the company, there's a high probability that there will be some sort of conviction on this chairman of Kadokawa. However, the punishment is probably not going to be anything crazy. And if I'm wrong, hey, I'm wrong. But considering what I've been seeing, the pattern of these people in, you know, somewhat powerful positions or connected to people with powerful positions, not getting the most severe of punishments, even if he gets convicted, I'm not going to be saying, yo, dog, they sending him to Rikers, fam. Not that they would send a Japanese native to Rikers Island and New York. No. But I'm just basically saying that even if he gets convicted, there's a high probability he might get off with like probation. And of course, it's a lot deeper over there in Japan, right? Because in case you don't know, something like that, that's a disgrace. So like in the communities and in the public, and you know, when you're walking by the convenience store and people recognize you or know who you are, they're going to be whispering about you. They're going to be staying away. So it's a lot deeper than that. There's a very serious problem in Japan where if you get disgraced, like if you flunk out of school or you don't make it to college or you become a shut-in, a lot of people, you know, they result to, you know, terrible things with themselves. So this could actually impact him, not necessarily maybe legally too hardcore, depending on which way it swings to begin with, if he's found guilty or innocent, but also reputation wise he's shot. It's really, really bad over there where you're guilty until proven innocent. Like, and again, that's not any different than over here, to be honest with you, but for the most part over there, yeah, he's gonna get some type of punishment. Legally, I'm not imagining it's going to be the most severe, again, assuming he's convicted, but community-wise and the people over there and his quote-unquote good name is going to be tarnished forever because of this. And this is crazy, dog, that this company, you know, this manga anime publishing company is connected to an Olympic bribery. Never did I thought I'd see the day, but hey, here we are. I wonder if they're going to start questioning some of the other companies. Like, yo, dog, I remember there was like a big thing there now that I think about it, like Toei and all of them. They had Dragon Ball, Sailor Moon. Toei, what are y'all doing? Or should I say Shueisha, because they're the ones that are in charge of the publishing. Shueisha, I'm just joking around. But yeah, chairman of Kadokawa, huge publishing company, arrested for alleged bribery attempts or completion, I guess you could say, $500,000 worth with the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. I guess I want to start off by asking you guys, let me know what you guys think. Do you think, first of all, that they're going to convict him, considering the high conviction rate over there, the extremely high conviction rate over there? And if so, how hard do you think the punishment is going to be? You think it's going to be similar to some of the previous things we've seen, again, with the, you know, founder of Studio Ufotable and the writer of Act Age's manga? Or they're going to throw the book at him, considering it's a bit more of a serious situation in a political aspect? Like, if anything, probably the worst offender was the writer of Act Age. What he was doing was, you know, outright disgusting. But considering the laws and stuff like that usually downright integrate straight into politics, tactics. If they did throw the book at him, it would be just because, hey, this is an international thing. This is the Olympics. You've disgraced us in front of the world. So maybe, who knows? Let me know. Moving forward, fans of Boruto, Naruto Next Generation. You know, I love me some Boruto. I got some unfortunate news in a way. Now, this news that I'm about to tell you guys, because there is some good news down this episode, so watch or whatever, but this news in particular regarding Boruto, Naruto Next Generations, the manga at the very least is not so good. Now, granted, the information is not necessarily complete, but it's still showing that the Boruto manga at the very least is not doing great, and it's going down further and further. I remember, you know, a couple years ago, it was at least usually, and what I'm referring to is the sales of the manga, those volumes sometimes would do, you know, close to 100k, or I believe even over 100k years back, it was doing over 100k or something like that. And gradually over time, and I've tried not to put a spotlight on it, I wanted to see where it went. That's why I never really, you know, pointed it out as like a major issue until now. We've seen a gradual decline in the Boruto manga sales. Now, granted, the Boruto IP in and of itself is a very tricky situation. If you check out my video over there on my other channel for Neverworld, I kind of discussed a little bit of how it all works when it comes to this Boruto franchise and whatnot. It's not the same thing as like a typical manga that's serialized in, for example, Weekly Shonen Jump. For starters, Boruto was serialized in V-Jump, and because the anime merchandising and stuff like that is so successful, it would shoot themselves in the foot to cancel Boruto. So even hypothetically, if the Boruto manga gets to the point of selling like just absolutely terrible rookie numbers, there's a high probability that they probably are still not going to cancel it, simply because the IP, Boruto Naruto Next Generations, Boruto and Naruto, both of them together, the franchises, make a lot of money. They make a shit ton of money, despite the fact that manga sales aren't hot at all. But we got the first 3-day sales for the latest volume of Boruto, and yeah, it doesn't look great at all. Granted, this isn't a complete week, but based on estimations and whatnot, I could kind of do the math of what it would do in a full 7 days. That's how they do, like, you know, record sales predictions. If you ever follow any of that, when they say, hey, Drake is about to do 250 first week, and he does somewhere between 225 and 260 or something like that, depending on what happens in between that week. Yeah, let's take a look. Because according to this, it says, Oricon week 1 is here for Boruto Volume 18. Not the best showing. Only managed to accumulate 32,800 hard copy sales. But this is across, and this is wrong. This is 3 days, not 2 days. And yeah, week 1, it comes in, and we'll discuss the full top 50 manga sales later on in this episode. If you're watching the full episode, if you're watching a clip, then yeah, go watch the full episode. Week 1 sales, 32,837, ranking in at number 9 with 3 days of sales. I say with a full 7 days, it's not going to necessarily be like 70,000 or anything like that. With a full 7 days, it probably would have done about 50 to 60, and I might be being generous. It just really depends on what the reaction to it is and what was the main causes as to why the sales are this low. It could just very well be attributing to, hey, people are losing interest little by little, which has been the case for the manga. Like, yeah, I mean, they've tried to do different things. I believe the last volume didn't have any of the previous gen characters. It had like Code and, you know, the army that he was building. And this one, they slapped adult Shikamaru on it, and it still really didn't help much. Now, granted, again, with a full week, doing 50 to 60 wouldn't be too bad. And when we get those sales, I'll report them and I'll let you guys know, hey, it actually did okay-ish. But 32,000 in 3 days is just showing that the Boruto manga, in terms of success, is not doing or living up to what it should. In comparison, I believe the latest Dragon Ball Super volumes in a full like 5 to 7 days was doing like 100,000 plus. And they're both kind of like on the same level in terms of they're both released in V-Jump. They're both legacy titles continuing on. It's just that Dragon Ball continued on with the characters everybody wanted to see from the original fan base, and Boruto went a different route and tried to garner a new fan base while still trying somewhat to maintain, you know, the OG Naruto fandom in there. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And I know some people are going to take this and run with it and say, safe. A Neville World is going in on Boruto. I don't know what, where's your brain when I'm telling you, hey, I really rock with the series. I really want to see it succeed. This is heartbreaking. I don't like seeing this. I want Boruto to be successful. There's been times in the manga, I've said it over on my main channel a million times, where I legitimately felt like I was reading Naruto back with all the big battles and stuff like that, where Boruto was fighting Boro and a whole bunch of cool stuff. I felt like, yo, this is what I originally signed up for many years ago. So to see the sales where it's at right now is sad, and I'm hoping something can shake up. And honestly, it's a broken record at this point to say it, but I'm gonna say it. The biggest thing that can save this right now is a massive time skip and an overhaul of the tone and everything about the series. Because if we continue on like this, okay, we're doing 32.8 at this point. 3 volumes from now, what are we gonna look like? Are we gonna be doing, you know, 40 or 30,000 in a full 7 days? That's not a good look, especially considering this is a spinoff of one of the hugest manga ever made. Naruto is one of the biggest of all time. So to see this, it's downright heartbreaking and sad. But let me know what you guys think. Do you feel like there's a way other than like what I suggested? Again, a big overhaul, you know, change up the name even a little. If you got to put Boruto Shippuden, Boruto Z, or, you know, just Naruto Next Generations, Ninja Chronicles, Boruto Bad, whatever the hell you got to do. That was just an off the top of the head idea. Relax before. Oh, like, yo, people take everything out of context nowadays. Jesus Christ. But yeah, in 3 days, Boruto doing 32,000 with a volume. Not the greatest look in the world, but we do got a lot of other great Boruto and Naruto related news in this episode. For starters, the next story that we're about to talk about is pretty exciting to hear. Well, actually, 2 pieces of news. I got a couple of more. Like, we got some stuff. Because for starters, it says, apparently next week's weekly Shonen Jump issue will contain must-see information about the Himawari Ninja Academy arc. And I'm wondering if the must-see information is that it's over! No! I have no idea what this must-see information could be. It could be that they're going to bring in a character that's from the manga that hasn't been shown yet. It could be that they're going to bring in a character from, like, you know, maybe the OG Naruto series, and they're going to be involved somehow. Like, I'm not sure exactly what this must-see information could be, but it's a little bit promising. Despite me being harsh on the latest arc of Boruto, there's a next episode preview for the next episode that's going to have, like, apparently the kids dressing up as, like, OG Ninja, Minato, Jiraiya, and stuff like that. So that kind of sounds okay-ish. And I don't know if maybe that's what they're promoting. Like, this is a must-see. Somebody's gonna cosplay as Jiraiya and Boruto. And that's not must-see. That's cool. That's funny. That's a little entertaining. That's not must-see. So we'll see what this big news is supposed to be. And then in bigger and more exciting news than even that, Naruto's 20th anniversary projects will be revealed in the next week's issue of Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 43. So next week's issue, we're going to find out what big projects they have for Naruto. And I wonder what they're going to do at this point. Honestly, there's a lot that they could do if I'm just keeping it real. They still could explore with films and all sorts of stuff that time period in between Shippuden and Boruto beginning. They could do a Boruto original film that's like really exciting or something like that. Like, they could do some stuff, but yeah, I'm very excited to see what any of this is going to be. Also, I'm imagining there's a huge possibility maybe the next Cyber Connect 2 game could get announced of, hey, the Boruto Storm is coming. That would be probably one of the most exciting things to come out of the franchise and forever. Like, oh my god, I want to play that game so bad. If that rumor that seemingly was substantiated to a certain degree by trusted sources is legit, that would be great. Like, hey, video game, original movie, maybe an announcement of the next arc, and it's like super exciting, even if it's anime original. Those 3 right there would be great. Or dare I say it, hey, the next installment in the Boruto Naruto verse, and it's something like a spinoff or an original story that's really hype. Like a, I don't know, Minato manga. Oh my god, that would be fire. I ain't gonna lie. I want that. But yeah, people, Boruto sales on the decline continuing. Must-see information incoming regarding the Boruto anime's Himawari Academy arc. And next week, we'll get some new information or some reveals for Naruto's 20th anniversary projects. And I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully, it's something for all of us to enjoy. Not only just, you know, OG Naruto fans or Boruto fans. We can all get together and have a good time. Moving Forward, Bleach fans, Bleach fans, it's been a time to eat because, yo, dog, the studio behind Bleach, Studio Puro, has been just dropping awesome information. I mean, for crying out loud, that latest trailer that they released was, mwah, chef's kiss. It looks like Bleach's Thousand Year Blood War anime is going to be a movie. It's phenomenal, to say the least. However, we got a bunch of insight into the Bleach anime, as well as a big reveal regarding the Bleach Thousand Year Blood War's production being greenlit a long time ago. So despite the fact that fans were clamoring and screaming, come on, bring it back, there was already plans to bring it back at least 5 years ago. According to this, it says Bleach Thousand Year Blood War anime was greenlit 5 years ago, and there's like a little symbol, and I believe that was confirmed at the latest expo where they were announcing and they released the Bleach trailer and whatnot. So 2017, pretty much a year after the Bleach manga ended, they were already swinging in high gear to bring Bleach back, which is kind of crazy. You know, it would have been great to give a word to the fans like, hey, we're coming back, guys, don't worry, considering a lot of fans were really sad in the press, especially when the Bleach manga ended. It was like, so no final adaptation, no big hoorah. In fact, with the Bleach manga ending, it would have been kind of cool to have that announcement like 1 year sooner than even that. But yeah, so 5 years ago, this was already a thing in conversation. I'm imagining that we probably would have had the Bleach anime even sooner than now. You got to think about it. The pandemic and all of the things that happened in the world probably put it to a halt to a certain degree. They probably were like, yeah, let's put it on the back burner for now. Let's polish it up. Let's get, you know, scripts going. Let's get everything right. So when the world gets back to somewhat of normalcy, then boom, we kick into high gear. And it also shows that, yo, dog, they've been planning this for 5 years. That's probably as well why the Bleach trailer and the Bleach anime is looking so good. Like, they've had time on their hands. So that's really, really interesting to hear. Again, they should have probably said something. I'd imagine a lot of people were really down bad after Bleach ended, and I don't blame them. Shit was, you know, downright horrendous for Bleach fans to not have anything after the manga, despite Bleach being one of the most successful manga of all time. 100 million copies sold. It's crazy. But then we have more information, in case you don't know, regarding the Bleach Thousand Year Blood War anime. It was already announced, and I talked about it in a previous video, that the Bleach Thousand Year Blood War is going to be 4 cores, meaning anywhere from 48 to 52 episodes. However, it was actually confirmed later that day that Bleach's Thousand Year Blood War is going to be 4 split cores. According to this, it says Bleach Thousand Year Blood War anime 4 cores will fully adapt the manga till the end, no finale movie or anything else, and the cores are specifically mentioned to be split, so most likely a break after each core. I just hope they don't do anything silly like one season a year. Here's 12 episodes in 2022. Here's 12 episodes in 2023. Like something like that. Here's one season a year. You know, 12 episodes at the end of 2022. 12 episodes at the end of 2023. I don't think that they're going to do that, to be honest with you. I'm imagining there will probably be anywhere from 3 to 6 months in between releases. Like usually when they do split cores, it's around like 3 to 6 months, but it could very well be the case, so we gotta wait and see on that one. But again, I'm imagining it's not gonna be too much of a break in between. Like, that would be a little bit insane considering the manga's already done. It's not like a My Hero where you need, you know, enough content. Like, the content is there, 200 plus chapters, like, just get it done. But also, split cores is good news. I know you're probably thinking, damn, so what, I'm getting 12, 13, and then I gotta wait? But that's good news because it allows for the next set of episodes to have even more time to be worked on, because just because this was greenlit 5 years ago doesn't mean that as soon as that green light came in, they started animating shit. Like, that's not how it works. This gives them an opportunity to get the next set of episodes to look even better than the previous episodes, or at the very least to meet that standard of quality. So I'm totally fine with it. Gives a break at the same time, and we get to get hype once again after a few months of a break. So I'm fine with the split core. I mean, again, Bleach is coming back. Who the hell cares if it's split or whatever, right? And then a few more pieces of information based on, again, that event that showcased the trailer, and I believe it premiered the first 2 episodes of the Bleach Thousand Year Blood War. It says here, Bleach Thousand Year Blood War anime episode 1. It starts with Yawatch narrating about the Sealed King folklore. Hollow's most part is made up of CGI, so there is going to be CGI, but CGI is getting better, and considering Puro has really put their foot into this one, it's probably not going to look bad or stick out. Extra extra added fight scenes for Ichigo, Orihime, Uryu, and Chad. Ichigo goes Bankai and uses Getsuga Tensho. So dope stuff there. And then it says, pacing-wise, Bleach Thousand-Year Blood War is about 4 chapters per episode. Obviously, if you do the math, that's how they're going to probably divide 200 chapters into 50 episodes. But episode 1 adapts 5 chapters, and episode 2 adapts 4 chapters. And episode 2's title is Foundation Stones. So yeah, that kind of makes sense. And the thing about it is, where a lot of people are worried, like, yo, how the hell are we gonna cram 200 chapters into 50 episodes? It's impossible. Well, I'm gonna tell you, like, adaptations vary. For example, One Piece is anime, and one of the problems people have had with it for the longest time is that it usually does sometimes less than a chapter per episode. Like, it'd be stretching it like 10 pages in one episode only, where the standard, especially back in like the Naruto and Bleach days, was about 2 chapters an episode. However, because the Thousand Year Blood War is a war, it's a lot of action and whatnot that you can speed by, yeah, they could probably fit in some episodes like 7 or 8 chapters of just combat. Like, that's really how the Bleach Thousand Year Blood War is gonna go. So some of those episodes is probably gonna have more chapters than others, and as long as it doesn't feel rushed and contrived and ridiculous, I'm fine with it. In fact, there's an opportunity again to fix some of the errors from Thousand Year Blood War that maybe Kubo couldn't get to because of his health issues or whatnot. This is a perfect opportunity to kind of play around with in terms of the adaptation of how much we're going to put into each episode. And again, I feel like Studio Pierrot knows what they're doing. Based on what they've showcased us so far, it looks like they're giving more than their A game on this one. So should be okay. But yeah, people, Bleach Thousand Year Blood War was greenlit 5 years ago and will be split cores, basically a break in between about 12 to 13 episodes per drop. But yo, is that really stopping anyone? Let's keep it real. Moving forward, big update for Chainsaw Man's anime release. Y'all already know, as of the recording of this video, we're less than a month away from the premiere of the Chainsaw anime, and I'm already hype about that announcement alone. But according to this, if you're lucky enough, you get to watch Chainsaw Man even sooner than most. Because according to this, it says, Chainsaw Man anime's episode 1 English dub will premiere on October 7th at New York City Comic Con's event, and the English dub cast will be revealed at the event itself. And I'm not gonna lie, more than likely, I won't be at New York Comic Con this year, and I am so bummed. If there is any anime that would get me out of my chair to go some big event just to watch it, it's Chainsaw Man, and I'm 100% dead serious. That would be the anime. But yeah, it's just not the right time for your lad to get out there. Maybe next year. But yeah, this is something where if you have the opportunity, if you have the probability of getting up in there, you should go and enjoy yourself, because this is gonna be a legendary series and I can't freaking wait. But yeah, I'm actually even looking forward to the dub. I don't know, I'm just a really big Chainsaw Man fan, in case you didn't know. Like, yeah, I really, really love and dig this series. But Chainsaw Man English dub, which, that's good that they're already putting their best foot forward in terms of having the dub ready. Who knows, we may get like what Funimation used to do, simultaneous releases of the dub and sub at the same time. I'll probably listen to both and pick one. My inner weeb says, yo dog, go sub, come on, stop playing. But then the other side of me is like, yo, but the dub might be cool. Dubs aren't what they were in the 90s anymore. More like, dubs are pretty damn solid. And I know probably people are gonna be with their pitchforks, how dare you, Fnaf? But I'm watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stone Ocean in dub, and I'm having a blast with it. The voice actress behind Jolene is freaking awesome. Love her. So yeah, Chainsaw Man anime English dub premiere October 7th, New York Comic Con. Whoever gets to go, god damn you, I'm jealous as hell. Next up, huge, huge, huge news. If you like to be informed on the news in the world of anime and manga, but in particular, Shonen Battle stuff especially, well, first of all, hit that subscribe button and that bell if you haven't already. That would really help you out. I legit get all of the big news that I know you're gonna enjoy or gonna be interested in all the time, so definitely do that. But we have big announcements for Jump Festa 2023. If you don't know what Jump Festa is, it's basically basically a big convention that's usually held around December every year, where Shonen Jump announce all of the big stuff that is to come for a lot of their franchises, whether it be, you know, a new anime adaptation, a movie, whatever it is. Usually they have a huge stage and they announce all of the goodies at that event. So this year, we finally got the announcement of what the super stages are going to be. And the super stages is usually where it all goes down. That's where we find out, oh, this anime is getting another season. This series is finally getting an anime. Oh, boom, this one is getting a film. Like, that's usually what they use the super stages for. Sometimes they misuse them just to bring people in. I'm not going to lie, I'm still going to harp on what they did with Boruto last year. Like, what was that? A recap of the... No! But this year, we got the stages right here, and it looks like a hell of a lineup. I am... Let's read. So for starters, Jump Festa 2023 super stages are as follows. One, One Piece. What is One Piece gonna be for this Jump Festa super stage, right? Because we already got the movie in theaters. We're not getting another movie. We're not gonna be getting, you know, another anime or anything like that. Well, who knows? You never know. But I'm imagining it's gonna be maybe a retrospective, probably a big quote from Oda regarding the status of the manga and maybe how long it has left. Another update, even though I think he's kind of tired of saying how long he has left. He said that in a recent interview. But I'm imagining it's just gonna be like some quotes from Oda, maybe some of the manga with like voiceover commentary and stuff like that from the voice actors, things like that. I'm not expecting too much from the super stage from One Piece, nor should you. There's not really much other than maybe like a TV special and like merchandise releases and stuff like that. I mean, it would be awesome, like a big, yo, One Piece spinoff coming, but I highly doubt it. Then we got My Hero Academia. That's scary. I mean, one, it could be that Kohei Horikoshi is going to come out and say, yo, we're ending it here in a couple months, dog. Enjoy. Bon voyage, so to speak. Also, it could be, hey, we're getting another movie, which the last movie did very well. And apparently, like, the female audience was astronomical over there in Japan. Like, 70% of ticket buyers for My Hero Academia's film were Japanese females. So it could very well be that we're going to get another movie, because I'd imagine they do not want to let go of that audience for, you know, females to be, especially over there in Japan, starting to jump into this franchise. It would really do a disservice to Shonen Jump to shoot them off. So they're probably gonna keep on that. I don't want it, but you could possibly expect a film incoming, right? Because that's something that would be big. Other than that, again, a quote from Horikoshi, an update on the status of the series, and again, maybe some more merch. I'm predicting, though, the biggest thing that could come out of it is a movie. That's probably what it is. And also maybe an update on the second half of the anime, because by that point My Hero Academia will be about halfway through season 6, so probably a trailer for the next part of My Hero Academia's anime. Then moving forward from that, we got a super stage for Black Clover, and I believe they did announce what's coming from the Black Clover one. According to this, it says the voice actors of the series will be present and revealing new information about the upcoming movie, so I'm expecting a trailer, like a full-length trailer at this particular point. The mobile game, which I ain't gonna lie, if the mechanics of that game and the gameplay is good, I'm gonna jump all in, because everything I've seen of the game, it looks like it's gorgeous, like it should be a console game. So updates on the mobile game and a Tabata message going into 2023. So we'll get a quote from Yuki Tabata, the author of Black Clover, regarding the status of the series. Remember, we're in the final arc of the manga, so who knows. I'm not going to expect a big announcement on the return of the anime. I'm hoping that at the very least by the end of the manga, whether it ends in 2023 or 2024, that's when I'm expecting the big, hey, the anime's returning. That's probably going to be the case. So for Black Clover, that's pretty much for the most part what you can expect. Then going down the list, Jujutsu Kaisen. I'm expecting the first trailer for season 2 of the anime by that point. That's probably what the super stage is mainly going to be used for. We just got that movie not that long ago. It won't be a film. Maybe Gege might say something, because remember, we was a bit into the series. I want to say Gege said we was like, what, 70% done about a year and a half ago now. So we probably could get an announcement there, but I'm betting all my chips on season 2 trailer will drop right there. Following that, we have Demon Slayer. Oh, yeah, probably the next season of the anime will get a trailer for that too, even though that would be a big doozy, dog. Demon Slayer and Jujutsu Kaisen trailers, I don't know if they'd want to shoot all of their, you know, ducks in the barrel. Is that how you say it? I don't know if they're going to want to drop all of that stuff in one big festival. They might, but yeah, that would be the logical thing. Other than that, I mean, I don't know, because Koyoharu Go Touge, ever since the end of the manga, doesn't really do too much. There was an announcement that they were thinking about doing a new series, a romance series, but so far we haven't heard anything of it. So I'm imagining probably the biggest and best thing we could get out of it is the next season of the anime or a surprise announcement, another film, because I know they're chomping at the bit to get another Mugen Train. Mugen Train, woo! Bukus of dollars. Dr. Stone will probably get a trailer for the upcoming anime, or at the very least some visuals or an announcement for the upcoming season of the anime, and maybe some more manga one-shots, because they've been throwing out one-shots here or there for the Dr. Stone manga, even though it ended. So maybe something like that. Spy Family, maybe something, a showcase of the latest, well, the new season will be starting right there, so maybe just an announcement that the next season is already in production for the anime, something like that. With Chainsaw Man, depending on if this season is going to be split core or not, we either might get a trailer for the next season, or an announcement that the next episodes is coming, or a trailer for the next core of episodes, something like that. But I'm expecting insanity there, and I really hope we get a quote or two from Tatsuki Fujimoto. We'll probably also get some updates on the manga that's going on right now, Chainsaw Man 2, because it's heating up little by little. Boruto and Naruto, I talked about it earlier in this episode, but for the love of God, just give us something great. That's all I'm gonna say. Just give us something great. A movie, a TV special, a spinoff, something awesome for the franchise. Like, it's well overdue at this point. Prince of Tennis, I'm not too familiar with. Maybe something about anime related or something. I don't really know. And then we got three Super Stage X's for Bleach, Kuroko no Basket, and Haikyuu. Bleach will probably be mainly just promoting the Thousand Year Blood War anime and all the information. Maybe they'll have some of the voice actors there. That's going to be exciting. Kuroko no Basket, I believe it's the celebration of the 10th anniversary of it, so probably nothing spectacular. I'm not expecting any movies or anything like that. Probably just merch. And Haikyuu, probably promoting the upcoming films, the two films that fans are really unhappy that they're getting, opposed to getting that season 5. And there you have it, folks. That is the whole lineup of what's going to be going down in Jump Festa 2023's event and what you can expect from it. This is going to be a doozy, to say the least. Next up, big announcement for a series that, if you follow the manga, top manga sales portion of these episodes of Feneva News, you will know sells extremely, extremely well. And I've always been like, you kind of caught my curiosity. Why is it selling so well? What's going on over there in that world? Well, Soso no Frieren is apparently getting an anime, and I believe there was already leaks of it, but we got a visual for it, and it says here, Frieren Beyond Journeys and Fantasy Adventure Manga gets anime, which the Japanese name is Soso no Frieren, so yeah, I guess it's Frieren Beyond Journeys End. Ahead of the release of the latest volume of Frieren Beyond Journeys End manga on September 15th, it was revealed today that Kanehito Yamada written Tsukasa Abe illustrated fantasy adventure series would be getting an anime. A visual was released to celebrate the adaptation, showing what Frieren looks like in her animated elven design. And I ain't gonna lie, the art looks incredible. Does it say what studio? I don't think it says the studio that's involved, but that shit looks gorgeous. And I'm looking forward to it. I've heard great things about it. It sells very well. I want to see what the buzz is about. I might even check out a chapter or two before the anime comes out. But put this on your radar. This is gonna be a big one. Probably very talked about in some communities there. Again, I don't know exactly what this one is about, but it's gonna probably pop. Moving forward, over the week, Webtoons has been coming under fire from creators on the platform regarding the revenue that they receive. And I'm just gonna tell you what's been said and, you know, the facts of what has been released based on these creators and whatnot. For starters, one creator from Tenacity Comics, shout outs to you, because I want to shout out every artist and writer and creator that is trying their best to get their indie game going on. How much income I make from ad revenue as a semi-successful Webtoons canvas creator with 13,000 subs, 64 updates, and 2 years of consistent posting put in. Spoiler, is not as much as you think. And yeah, the revenue is not the greatest in the world. For 30,000 views on 1 month in December, they made about $18,000. I was gonna say 18,000. I wish they would made 18,000. That would be incredible. $18, January $18, February, $10. They had a spike in views in March and with almost 50,000 views, $30, $7 in April, $15 in May. And June, it wasn't a great month for them. They only made $2. And yeah, that's with a lot of work put in. And then an account came out that recently was deleted. And again, this is all based on these accounts. This is not my saying. I am not endorsing these messages per se. But there was an account that came out called Webtoons Exposed. And on it, they were giving the base pay of what some of the Webtoon original creators are making. And according to them, which this was a little bit of a talk, but again, it got swept under the rug fairly quickly and removed. It says, Webtoon's base pay varies widely, but the current average base pay is $800 to $1,200 for an episode, which is about 40 to 60 panels. Currently, new original series are signed on at around $1,000 to $1,200 per episode. Original creators who signed on in 2020 through 2021 signed on at around $800 an episode. And I will tell you right now, it's not bad, but it's not good either. Like, in my mind, because it seems as though 40 to 60 panels, that is like about, what, a chapter or so? Getting $800 to $1,200, again, it's low. It's not great by any means, but around for that, depending on, for like independent creators of like comics and whatnot, based on what I understand, they usually should get anywhere from like 75 up. Sometimes they get even a little bit lower. They could get like $50 to $60 a page. So let's just say we're going to do the math at, let's just put it at the lowest, $50 a page, right? So $50 a page for 10 pages, that would be $500. For 20 pages, that would be about $2,000. And basically 20 pages is about a chapter. So they should be getting around like $2,000, maybe even more if, you know, the $75 standard rate for like Marvel and stuff like that. It would probably be the $75 and up for Marvel and stuff like that. It would probably be a lot higher. This is still very bad in comparison to that stuff. And I mean, granted, it's dope that they're giving opportunity to creators that are, you know, on the rise. Like, hey, create an original. We'll pay you X amount. So it's not bad, but it's still kind of bad. And again, this is all alleging that this is legit. Again, this is just the talk of the town over on Twitter, and this account was swiftly removed. It says original creators who signed on with Webtoons prior to 2020 have even lower rates of $500 to $800. That is not good at all. That's terrible. However, the creators being paid higher rates who signed on in 2020 and later have a different contract than creators who signed on before 2020. Those creators are subject to MRT. Original creators on the newer contract do not receive out a cut of fast pay until their series earns back the MRT, minimum revenue threshold. So basically, until you recoup, you don't get paid. Kind of like a record contract, if you know about anything with the music industry. And they went even further to say that perhaps one of Webtoon's greatest crimes is preying on artists in the global south. Despite being based in the United States, the Webtoon's LATAM branch pays its original creators less than half of what it pays in the US, with $400 or less per episode for still 40 to 60 panels. And yeah, that is absolutely criminal at that point. But again, this is all alleging. This is legit. I'm just reporting what's going on in the community right now. This isn't factual from like a main credible source or anything like that. I always say, yo dog, artists deserve the world. If I had that opportunity, if I was running that ship over there, boy, when I run a ship like that, y'all gonna find out how I'm gonna really take it to the next level, because I'm for the creator, I'm for the culture, I'm for the artist. I want to abolish the idea of the starving artist, and this is genuinely coming from me. Hopefully Webtoons does better. There was also reports, again, like I said, on the ad revenue that is not great at all over there. It's just kind of a mess. I mean, I want to give a little bit of, just a smidge of, not necessarily leeway, I can't think of the word right now, but basically benefit of the doubt that, hey, Webtoons is still new. This whole idea of making money off your comics online on a, like a major platform that already has an audience is relatively new. So maybe with time, they'll get a little bit better. I mean, you never know what could happen, right? But yeah, as it stands right now, even some of the original creators are still being underpaid, if that is legit, with Webtoons, and the ad rates is not great either. It just all around sounds like Webtoons definitely needs to do better. Moving forward, we got a slew of One Piece news that I want to run through, but yeah, a lot of really interesting and awesome stuff. For starters, basically some creator out there, some company is releasing this giant One Piece manga. I believe it's breaking like the Guinness World Record. It says here, in layman's terms, One Piece is something to look at and you mull over the supply and demand rates of manga from online digital storefronts like Viz Media. Given the mega book's colorfully illustrated spine and cover, reminiscent of the collage featured on the spine of Dragon Ball Z's manga volumes, One Piece would make for a great end piece, or let's be honest, an entire shelf of your bookshelf to display at your next weeb gathering. Basically, a French publisher released this giant manga. It's like one manga, one spine, and like I want to say all of the One Piece volumes up to date. Don't quote me on that. It would make more sense to just do like the first 100. In fact, it would have made more sense to just do everything pre-time skip, and then whenever the time skip, you know, One Piece ends, do post-time skip. But yeah, apparently like they're breaking the Guinness World Record with this. My problem with this release and whatnot is the fact that on the box it says One Piece by Non Monarch, and what? Like, no, it's One Piece by Eiichiro Oda. That honestly feels disrespectful. Like, you want to put your name on the box? Fine by me. Put it somewhere around there. Like, hey, you're the one that put this book together in terms of, you know, the materials and whatnot. But this is One Piece by Eiichiro Oda, the man that, you know, his whole life revolves around this. So I'm surprised that this is actually flying. I wonder if Viz actually gave it the okay. Well, no, if it's French, then they probably have it. I wonder, shall I say, if Shueisha and the people over there in Japan gave them the okay to do this and gave them the okay on the box art, because while the box art on the sides looks fire with all the imagery and whatnot, One Piece by Non Monarch, what? Like, no, you're not the creator of One Piece. But either way, it's a very interesting thing, and I believe it's the world record of the longest one single book out there. Craziness. Then in more One Piece news, we have an updated and official exact date for One Piece Film Red coming to the US. Initially, it was reported that, hey, Film Red is coming to the US in October, and I'm not gonna lie, my kiddos, they love One Piece. They were very disappointed when they heard this news that it won't be coming in October. It'll be coming a little bit after, but it won't be coming in October, because according to this, Crunchyroll is bringing One Piece Film Red to theaters in November. The latest One Piece theatrical experience is coming to theaters soon. Crunchyroll is announcing that One Piece Film Red will come to theaters in the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand this November. Tickets for Australia and New Zealand will go on sale on October 5th, with North American tickets going on sale starting October 6th. The release date for each region are as follows. Again, Australia, New Zealand, November 3rd, and United States and Canada, November 4th. So mark your calendars, November 4th, mark your calendars for when you can pre-order the tickets. Again, October 6th in the US and North America in general, not just the US, because people get on me all the time like, yo dog, there's more to the West, there's more to North America. Like, I understand. And yeah, either way, I'm really, really excited. Another month wait. It's a little grueling considering, like, yo dog, what this movie is doing out there and the fact that Shanks is in it and stuff. It sounds very appealing. It sounds like people are really loving this film, so I'm dying to see it, but I could wait a little bit longer considering October is stacked with anime and movies and all sorts of other stuff. Black Adam, like, not just anime and manga, like, I got a lot of things on my plate. So November 4th sounds actually great to start off the month and get some real awesome One Piece greatness. Film Red, November 4th. And just another update, which by now this number is already relegated to irrelevant because it'll have done more. According to this post, this was a few days ago, according to journalist Hiro Otoka, One Piece Film Red has reached 13,868,540,000 yen in earnings in 37 days, which I want to say that equates to what? Roughly, as of the conversion rate at the time of this recording, about $96 million. Probably by the time you're seeing this episode, it will have reached the $100 million mark, which that's like, what, 2 months? Less than 2 months. 37 days with this right now. So in probably about roughly 40 or some odd days, One Piece Film Red has made $100 million. Like, think about it. $100 million. But yeah, people, that was a bunch of One Piece news. Again, that world's largest manga ever, even though they put somebody else's name, it's Oda, for One Piece, all of those volumes stacked together. Then you got One Piece Film Red coming to theaters November 4th. And last but not least, One Piece Film Red on the cusp of $100 million in about 40 some odd days. Like, bananas. Moving forward, we got another update for Chainsaw Man. According to a recent interview with Manabu Otsuka, president of Studio MAPPA, Chainsaw Man anime adaptations talks started as soon as he contacted Shueisha after reading the first volume in 2019. Otsuka says that even though there's limits, they'll try to do their best when reproducing the original work as faithfully as possible. The president also mentions that they'll try to exceed the expectations of the many fans of the series worldwide. That's crazy to think that in 2019 he was already like, yo dog, I want this, I want it, what's happening? And I don't blame him. It was 2019, 37 chapters in, that I myself said, oh, this is freaking gas, baby. My first impression of Chainsaw Man on my main channel, you could go check it out. Shameless plug, ain't no shame over here and plugging my name. I'm just saying, yo, hat, gonna be coming back in sale soon. But it makes all the sense in the world. Chainsaw Man was so unconventional for Weekly Shonen Jump, and the fact that it only took one volume of convincing, Remember, I want to say with Jujutsu Kaisen, it was on the second volume, if I'm not mistaken, that they were like, yo, we want to adapt this. One volume of Chainsaw Man was all it took to convince Studio MAPPA, I need this right freaking now. And that means that it was safe probably around that time. It was probably like Studio MAPPA approaching was the nail in the coffin of, nah, this shit's going to be around for a while. And probably that's why Tatsuki Fujimoto was afforded the ability and opportunity to end the manga the way he did with part one only being 97 chapters. Like, that's a very, very short end for something that was exploding at the time with success. The old model would have been, oh, it's exploding, we're doing another 200 chapters. So yeah, very interesting stuff. And seems like Studio MAPPA knew from the jump, similar to myself, that Chainsaw Man was gonna be immaculate and very successful. And yeah, that's what led to its anime adaptation. Quick update for the Black Clover manga. It just says here, Black Clover will be on break, the manga, next week in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 43, which pretty much called it at this point. Once you start seeing each series taking a break, you could kind of assume, okay, if My Hero took a break last week, Black Clover is going to take a break. And it's repetitive for me to say, I love seeing authors getting afforded this opportunity when 5 years ago it was, yo dog, they taking a break, what? Like, no, take your break, Tabata. Spend time with your daughter and your wife and all of that beautiful stuff that you love to do that I really appreciate. I guess on a side note, it's really, really dope that when you find out more about some of these creators, sometimes you become a little more invested in not only their work, but wanting to see them succeed as a person. And legitimately, I want to see Yuki Tabata succeed, whether it be with Black Clover or he decides to do another series down the road. I want to see him win. Like, this is a family man that loves his family to death, works hard as hell. He's like the real life Asta. Next up, I found this to be absolutely hilarious and I wanted to share it with you. Apparently, officials will be holding a rock, paper, scissors contest with a giant life-size real world Gundam. So they're gonna have a rock, paper, scissors contest with a real Gundam. That's crazy, man. I wonder if they really be, you know what I'm saying, military stuff. Like, yo dog, this is gonna be the future. Y'all think we going to war or some shit? We got Gundams. Like, who knows, maybe 30 years from now there'll be some crazy wars in the world. Hopefully not. But yeah, maybe they'll be whipping out these Gundams. That's hilarious. I gotta see the video of it. Please put that shit up on YouTube or Nico Nico or wherever the hell they post content. I gotta see the giant Gundam playing rock, paper, scissors. That's nuts. And AI intelligence has just gotten absolutely bananas. Moving forward, we got one more piece of One Piece news for this episode. It says One Piece now has a total of 85 volumes in Shoseki's daily ranking for September 13th, the new best daily ranking ever for the series' backlog wise. And I'm not gonna lie, that is, I'm gonna say straight up, it's because of Film Red, which Film Red is a Goliath, like One Piece probably needed right now, considering it was on the decline. I remember a few months back, we were talking about one of the volumes failed to hit 1 million sales in its first week, and that's unusual for One Piece. Again, don't mistake by any means, like 900 and something thousand sales in a week is beyond breathtaking for anything. But for One Piece, that was kind of low considering it usually cracks 1 million. And a few years back, it was doing 2 million, 3 million first week. So the fact that 85 volumes are in the back catalog, expect One Piece's sales to rise dramatically. And who knows, maybe Film Red could be what helps One Piece to eventually get close at the very least to being the number one selling comic of all time. I believe that still is a bad Batman or Superman? I always get confused in my head. I know it surpassed one already, and yeah, Film Red really is doing numbers for it. 85. I think there's only, what, 103 or 104 volumes of One Piece? 85 of them are charting? Bonkers. Just a quick update on Shonen Jump's smash hit. We've been talking about that Shonen Jump has been striking out and they've been canceling a lot of stuff, and honestly it's been true on the battle side of things, but Shonen Jump's latest hit is clear as day. They have one, Akane Banashi. It says here, Akane Banashi, which is about Rakugo, like stage plays and stuff like that, has reached 200,000 copies in circulation. Volumes 1 and 2 have been reprinted multiple times, with volume 1 already reaching its fifth print. So with two volumes, it already has basically done like 100,000 a piece, essentially. That is amazing, and also showcasing why probably Shonen Jump is like, yeah, we're gonna start little by little adding more variety to the magazine, even more so than before, because they're getting hits. Look at Spy Family, huge hit, nothing to do with battles. I mean, there's some assassin stuff, but it's really about, like, you know, these people with these not even real life problems, but it's not necessarily a conventional type of battle series and whatnot. And then this about stage plays doing 200,000. Shonen Jump is probably going to keep their foot on the pedal of what they're doing right now, which, I mean, I heard Akane Banashi is dope, and I've actually checked out another series in Shonen Jump that is not battle series that was really good too, so who knows. But yeah, Shonen Jump, they got a new hit, and it's called Akane Banashi. 200,000 copies already sold with only two volumes on sale. That is great beyond words. Next up, just a quick update for Martial Magic and Muscles anime. It says here, Martial TV anime casting will be revealed at Aniplex Online Festival 2022. So we'll probably be getting close to maybe a trailer or something. Martial is going to be one of the big ones that they're about to put out in 2023 alongside Undead Unluck. So I'm imagining that Martial, we could get maybe a trailer at Aniplex Online, considering they're not putting it on the big super stage for a Shonen Jump Festa 2023. So probably we'll get maybe the trailer then. Maybe they want to give the newbie Jump series like their own stage, opposed to being, you know, compared to the Goliaths, because realistically Marshall is going to get lost in the sea of hype for a Chainsaw Man or a Bleach or all those other bigger titles. Next up, we got the Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments, courtesy of Jose_K and the Weekly Shonen Jump author comments. Let's take a look. For starters, we got Ken Wakui, author of Tokyo Revengers. He said, I went to Atami for 2 nights and 3 days, but was stuck in the inn the whole time since it did nothing but rain while I was there. LOL. Yeah, that sucks, like, to be on vacation and then boom, it rains. Nakaba Suzuki, author of Four Nights of the Apocalypse, Seven Deadly Sins. I went to the recording of the Seven Deadly Sins Grudge of Eidenberg. It was a lot of fun. Nice promo there, very subtle with it, but yeah, that's, if I'm not mistaken, those 3D CG movies, and while I'm starting to come around to the idea of 3D CG, for the most part, the stuff that they showed in the little teaser for it did not look bueno, lads. Then we got Kei Urana, author of Gachi Akuta. I want to live in Canvas Town. Is that where Gachi Akuta takes place, or a city in Gachi Akuta? Then we got Hiromashima, author of Eden Zero, Fairy Tale, 100 Years Quest, Fairy Tale, Rave Master, you already know. I've reached 100,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. Thanks so much, everyone. Talk about a fast climb. In case you don't know, we praise, we stand Hiromashima's hustle over here, and Hiromashima as a man. He is freaking incredible as a creative. Bravo, congrats, dog. We love you. We got George Morikawa, author of Hajime no Ippo. Collecting so many colored shikishi makes me happy. Cool beans, bro. And that's all we have for Weekly Shonen Magazine. Then on the Weekly Shonen Jump side of things, I saw one that kind of made me question it. Stay tuned, because for starters, we got Eiichiro Oda, creator of One Piece. I was watching Otto's live performance when I got an alert that Shinji Dai, New Genesis, went number one on the Apple Music World ranking. She then performed Shinji Dai, and it was moving. Man, talk about living in the moment and living with incredible success surrounding you all around, Oda. When he retires, dog, he's set for life. His great-grandchildren are going to be kicking their feet up. His great-grandchildren's great-grandchildren's great-grandchildren are going to be like, yo, dog, we appreciate you, Oda ancestor. There we go. We got Gege Akutami, author of Jujutsu Kaisen. Next chapter will use domain expansion for the Sendai colony as well. Naoya Zenin will work hard. Yeah, it's been bananas with him. his domain expansions. Then we got Yuki Tabata, author Black Clover. This is the one I was talking about earlier. He said, "My three-year-old daughter said, 'Wrong, Papa is my slave.' Yes, you are correct." And I'm wondering, who is he saying that, like, who is she saying that to? Like, who is calling him a slave to say, "No, wrong, he's my slave"? And just in general, yeah, when it comes to our children, in particular, girl dads, we're kind of like slaves to them. Like, I do everything and anything for my daughter. Anything that she wants, well, within reason, I try to be at the same time parental as I possibly can. Here, you want new Demon Slayer stuff? Because she's a big Demon Slayer fan. It's her first anime and she loves it. Here, we love our kids. And that's why I love Yuki Tabata, true family man, and gonna keep standing him. We got Hajime Komoto, author of Martial Magic and Muscles. "I've been getting into magic trick items lately. They're so much fun. Magicians are amazing." And that's probably him doing research for Marshall. Cool stuff there. And another author I want to start covering here in Weekly Shonen Jump's author comments is Mapolo 3 from PeepaPeepaP. "Victini uses flame charge and comes back unruffled. It's the cutest thing ever." And I believe he's referring to a Pokemon. And yeah, shoutouts to Mapolo 3. I'm going to have a PPP first impression here soon, because on the main channel, because I got to talk about it. It's so good. And yeah, people, those were the Weekly Shonen Jump and Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. And as per usual, let's close this episode out with the top 50 best-selling manga of the week, courtesy of Jose_K. So we got 50 through 41, and we see Undead Unluck Volume 13 in 3 days doing 10,500. Not the greatest at all, especially considering, like, yo, dog, we're 13 volumes in. Definitely a decrease. I mean, in a full week, it probably would have done about, like, maybe 14, 15, but that's still a shocking drop from it was doing 40, 50 first week, just like a year or two ago. Then we got PeepaPeepaP Volume 4 in 3 days with 10,600. I'm gonna tell you why in comparison to only doing 100 more than Undead, but still, it's a great thing for PeepaPeep and not necessarily for Undead Unluck. And not just because it's only 4 volumes deep and Undead is 13 volumes, mainly because that is not a battle series. It is very unconventional. It is a music manga about this dude competing in piano contests. Like, it's a similar Shonen Jump premise of the underdog trying to achieve and whatnot, but it is not a battle series by nature. It's so, again, new for Weekly Shonen Jump. So to be doing those sales early on, especially, that's actually pretty good for PPP. While Undead Unluck is a battle series, it should be doing twice that at the very least. Then climbing up the ladder a bit, at 43, we got Spy Family doing 11,000 this week, 1.7. At 41, Spy Family. Oh, wait, no, I don't want to skip over Mission Yozakura Volume 14 in 3 days, 11.3. 14 volumes in, and Mission Yozakura is a battle series. Maybe the anime will pick it up. And considering Undead Unluck is ending as well, maybe the anime will do great for the back catalog for it. We'll see. Then we got places 40 through 31. We got One Piece Volume 101 with another 12,000. Almost 2 million. It'll hit that 2 million before bouncing, especially with Film Red giving everything One Piece related a boost. And then a whole bunch of other series that I'm not too familiar with. I've heard about the Mato Seihi no Slave. 12,000 in 3 days. What a freaking name, huh? Then we got places 30 through 21. We once again have One Piece Volume 102 this time, 15,000, 1.8. We got Twin Star Exorcist Volume 29. I thought that was ending. It's weird, it's still going. No shade, just I thought it was ending. 15.8 in 3 days. Let's see, going up, World's End Harem Volume 16, almost 18,000 in 3 days. Yo, I don't think I ever finished that anime. I started watching, I was like, yeah, this is a wild one, fam. It's kind of distracting to watch. Then places 20 through 11, we got Ayakashi Triangle Volume 10, 21,000 in 3 days. That's not that bad, especially considering it got moved to Jump Plus. Then going up the ladder a little bit, we got Haikyuu 10th Chronicle. Is that like some sort of, what is that? I'm not sure what it is. But 26,600 in 3 days. Pretty good for a book that I don't even know what the hell it is. Then we got top 10. We got what we covered earlier in this episode. Boruto Volume 18 with 32,837 in 3 days. Not a good showing for Boruto, I'll be honest with you, even though it's only 3 days. I mean, it's getting outsold by freaking everything else in their, like, I don't know, 14th week and shit like that. Like One Piece Volume 103, that came out over a month ago. ago, like 5 weeks ago, and it did 40,000 this week. Obviously, there's a very big difference between One Piece that has a movie out in theaters and whatnot, and Boruto that is a spinoff series in V-Jump. I get it. But 40,000, almost 1.8. Then we got a number 6, Jujutsu Kaisen Volume 20, 50,000. So this is the first time it dropped from the second spot. It was like top 2 for a million, well, not a million weeks, but like a month straight. 1.3, Tokyo Revengers, 70,000 this week, 661,000. That cover is fire, dog. The artist of Tokyo Revengers covers, oh my god. Then Haikyuu 10th Chronicle Limited Edition, 106,000. That's very good. What is that? Is that like a collection of art? What is that? Then at number 1, World Trigger with a new volume, first one in a while. In 3 days, 164,000 for volume 25. World Trigger, always love to see it pop out and get a little bit of sales. Y'all know, in case you don't, the author World Trigger suffers from a lot of medical conditions. And yeah, people, that's all we have for today's episode. Curious what you guys think. Most important story, favorite story, something you're like, come on, Finette, why you ain't cover it? Let me know. That's all I have for this one. I'm Finette World, and as always, people, have an awesome day.
And remember the golden rule.
Anime and manga
for life, bye.
Have an awesome day. Peace in. And you just watched another episode of
Horror News.
Have an awesome day. Subscribe and hit that bell. We talk about all the news you want to know.
I have a dream, alone in my room as I sit with the tea. Couldn't possibly think what I often see. And you don't even know how I often blink. Lights be flashing and looking at me. Such an odd unique, yet I'm so unique. And you're looking at me. If the walls could talk, they would probably re-bleak. And I'd probably say, bitch, get the fuck off me.